Says the Gemara.
Everyone, please mute.
Whoever's hosting can actually mute everybody, I think. Says the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, let's begin from the two dots. Minayin lebirkas hamozain la'achareho min ha'teira. How do we know that birkas hamozain after the food, bracha achreino, how do we know that that is min ha'teira? We must immediately be medayik, and we will see this in the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara is only discussing birkas hamozain la'achareho, as opposed to Birkas Hamozoin Lefoneho. We also make a bracha Rishona on foods, and the Gemara is not discussing that. So it's quite clear, Lechoira from the Gemara, that the bracha Rishona, and this is, as we know, the way we paskin, is indeed not Min HaTorah, and is only Midrabon. The bracha after is indeed a bracha Min HaTorah, and as we know, even that, however, is on only on bread. The Birkas Hamozen that we're discussing is only on bread. If you have an apple and you're mechayev to make a bracha of boirin of foshois afterwards, and that is not min hatera. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing for the moment bread. There is a discussion. Some say that shivas haminim, grapes, pomegranates, dates, etc. Some say that those are also min ha'teira. But certainly bread is definitely min ha'teira if you eat the required amount. Says the Gemara, Omer of Yehuda Marav, minay lebirkas hamozein la'achareho min ha'teira. How do you indeed know that the bracha after the food is min ha'teira? It's an obligation min ha'teira. Shenema, because it says, v'ochalto v'sovoto ubeirachto. And you shall eat, you shall be satisfied, and you shall make a bracha. Because of this critical word, v'sovato, as we know, one has to eat more than the standard amount of eating b'chol ha'teira. B'chol ha'teira kula, whenever we talk about eating, we always mean a shear of a kazayis. So as we know, if there's a mitzvah on leil, Haseda, to eat matzah, that means a kazayis worth of matzah. If there is an issa to eat nevela or chazir, then that also applies only if you eat a kazayis. But over here, it does not merely say v'ochalta uveirachta. If it were to merely state and you eat and you make a bracha, then indeed the shear would be a kazayis. But because it says v'ochalta v'savoto, that extra word v'savoto, you should be satiated, means that in fact you've got to make a bracha min ha'teira only at such point that you are satiated, which will clearly be more than a kazayis. This is the required amount min ha'teira. There is obviously therefore no standard amount. Each person would be satiated on a different amount. This is all min ha'teira. Midrabbanan, we paskin, we saw this earlier on. Remember we said that the Malachim asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is it that you can favor Klal Yisrael? And the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because I told them to bench only when they eat enough to be satisfied on, and yet they are mevorich, they bench even at a lesser amount of a kazayis. But either way, that's all midrabbanan. Min ha'teirah, you are only obligated to bench if indeed you ate kedei sevir. That is v'ochalta, v'savata, uveirachta. We might well have mentioned in the past a very famous shaila in Rabbi Akiva Eiger. This is particularly precious in my heart because this was 30 years ago, a month ago, with my bar mitzvah drasha, and that is, V'ochalto, v'sovato, uveirachto. You must eat and be satiated. Which part of it, which part of that pasuk actually obligates you to bench? Is it the v'ochalto or is it the v'sovato? And you might well say, well, clearly it's both. You have to also eat and be satisfied. So what would be, and this is Rabbi Kivega's world-famous shaila, imagine a bar mitzvah boy is becoming bar mitzvah tonight, Monday night, at the shkia, let's say, at 5:15. At 5 o'clock, he has a bread-based meal, whilst he is still no longer a bar mitzvah boy. He is a katan. Then nightfall arrives, and he now feels the svia being satisfied. So the v'ochalto was done as a katan, but the v'savato was done as a gadol. Kegel wants to know, is he chayev to bench min ha-Torah or only mid-Rabbanon? Would we say he's obligated to bench min ha-Torah because the v'savato was fulfilled as a gadol? Or would we say perhaps he's only chayev to bench as a katan because the v'ochalto was done as a katan? And you'll ask me, well, what's the difference? Either way, he's chayev to bench. But the answer is, there's a big difference. Can he be Moitzi, a Godoil? Can he be Moitzi, his father, as we know? As we learned on the previous Omer, a Derabonon cannot be Moitzi, a Deraisa can. So we would need to know whether he is Mechuyev to bench Min HaTorah or only Min Derabonon. Either way, that is a famous Shaila, a very big discussion, several proofs in both directions. Either way, V'ochalto v'savato v'irachto is the pasuk that teaches us that you are chayev to bench min ha-Torah following a bread-based meal, providing that you are indeed satisfied. That is the Berkas HaMozein la'achareho, says the Gemara. We saw this yesterday. U'minayin le'Berkas HaTorah lefoneho min ha-Torah. Birkas HaTorah, lefoneho. What's lefoneho? We just spoke about the Birkas HaMozoin leachareho, after the food. Now we're discussing Birkas HaTorah prior to learning. Now this is very, very unique. Why is this very unique? All mitzvahs, as we know, one makes a Birkas HaMitzvahs prior to the performance of the mitzvah, as we all did, hopefully this morning, before we put on our tefillin, laniach, and our mitzvah's tefillin. Before we put on our talis, lis'atek batalis. Before we shake a lulav, al mutilas lulav, al achiras matzah, likvaya mezuzah, etc., etc. But all of those brachas, every single one of them, is only midrabbanan. Min ha-Torah, you are obligated to perform the mitzvah, not the bracha on the mitzvah. There is one exception. And what is that exception? Limud Torah. The bracha that one is required to make prior to Limud Torah, as our Gemara is teaching us, is in fact Min ha-Torah. It is the only bracha which is recited upon the performance of the mitzvah, which is required by the Torah. Where is it learned from? Shenema kishem Hashem ekra avu goydel lelikenu. Whenever you declare the name of Hashem, you first have to be avu goydel, give greatness. How do you give greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of the Torah, which of course could not be more timely for this week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim. At the end of the parasha, once again deals with Matan Torah.
Did we learn that the brachas before have more of a kesher of gezo, and that everything belongs to Hashem's?
Those are the brachas, what we call Birkas Hanenin. There are several different types of brachas, mainly three types of brachas. We have Birkas Hanenin, the bracha you make, which is not a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's nothing to do with mitzvahs. It's the brachas that you have to make before benefiting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, like eating or drinking. And if you don't do that, that's like stealing. Then you have type two, Birkas HaMitzvahs, Al Netilas Lulav, Likvaya Mezuzah, etc. And then you have a third type of bracha, which is Birkas HaShvach. When you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for example, if you see the ocean, or if you hear thunder, you make a bracha. Now, you're not benefiting from it. Neither is that the performance of a mitzvah. You are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you clearly see the Yad Hashem. Those are the three types of brachas, and all of them are midrabon. The only exception, as we just learned, is Birkas HaMozoin after eating bread, and Birkas HaTorah prior to learning. It has been pointed out, and it's very, very important to point out, because we say this every single day of our lives without exception, that the Birkas HaMitzvahs over performance of a Limud Torah, there is, of course, as we know, a double bracha. First, we say Lasik B'Divrei Torah, to involve ourselves with Divrei Torah. We also say Asher Bochar Bon Mikol Amim Nosan Onves Torosei. The truth of the matter is, there's a third bracha. Very rare. So the Mefarshim point out the reason why we are making several brachas is, of course, as everybody would guess, he gave us the Torah. Which Torah did he give us? Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us Torah Shebichsav. The other bracha of V'chaye oilom nota b'seichenu, that refers to Torah Shabbat Peh. Why? What is nota? Natia. Natia is a plantation. Torah Shabbat Peh is like a plantation. You can plant one seed in the ground and it can multiply disproportionately, exponentially. That is the Mahus of Torah, as we mentioned last week in the Parashah Shir. Torah Shabbat Peh is still being written until today. So it's like a natia. It just grows and grows and grows and grows. You'll ask me, so what about the third bracha then? The opening bracha, La'asik B'divrei Torah, which is the most incredible bracha, because we have to be medayik. Firstly, the famous diak of the Chofetz Chaim, La'asik B'divrei Torah does not say Lilmoid Torah. La'asik B'divrei Torah means one should treat one's Torah as an asek, as a business. Just as we know that if you're an employee and you have a 9-to-5 job, then coming at 9:01 is just not an option. You are completely oblivious to what is around you, and that is the only thing that exists, and you must be there in the time of your asek. The Chofetz Chaim says that's the way that we have to treat our learning as well, as an asek. When I'm involved in my learning, then nothing else exists, and I dare not miss it. But so too, v'harev no. V'harev means it should be sweet. The Torah should be sweet. V'ni'anachnu v'tzeitzeinu, etc. The Torah is sweet does not mean that the Torah is easy to learn. To the contrary, as we all know, sometimes those sugyas that are most sweet are the hardest sugyas. When they're very simple and you just breeze through the sugya, then there is less excitement. So you see that a fundamental element in learning Torah is that it should be sweet. And there is much discussion about this. One of the Gedolei Achreinim, the Avnei Nezer, was asked, what happens if you learn and you enjoy your learning? Is that worse off? Is that considered that you're perhaps learning Torah Shaloi Lishma? And the Avnei Nezer wrote back, that could not be further from the truth. You are supposed to be enjoying your learning, and the enjoyment of learning is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Limud Torah. And that's why we specifically daven every day, V'ha'arev no, that we should in fact enjoy our learning. It should be sweet to us. So we have now learned, let's go back into the Gemara, two brachas. Birkas hamozoin la'achareho, birkas hatoira lefoneho. So if you're drawing a chart, the obvious boxes that are missing, what about birkas hamozoin lefoneho? Rav Nachum, as you pointed out, the birkas hanenin that you make, not after the eating, but prior to the eating, we have not discussed in this Gemara. And also, what about Birkas HaTorah LeAchareho? Do you have to make a bracha on Torah following learning, just like you make a bracha on the food following learning? So if we had a square and we split it up into four, we have two boxes that are filled and two boxes that are not. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lomadnu Birkas HaTorah LeAchareho. We can surely learn Birkas HaTorah LeAchareho, the after bracha of Torah. We can surely learn that min Birkas HaMazon Mikal Vachoyma. If you make a bracha after eating food, surely you should have to make a bracha after learning Torah, Mikal Vachoyma, even though it doesn't say it specifically in the Pasuk, but using the vehicle of a Kal Vachoyma, that's the inescapable conclusion that I should arrive at. Why? The Gemara explains. Lomadnu Birkas HaTorah LeAchareho Min Birkas HaMozoin Mikal Vachoyma. And one moment, says the Gemara, so too Ubirkas HaMozoin Lefoneho, so too surely I can learn the bracha of that we make over foods prior to eating them. I can learn that min Birkas HaTorah, also Mikal Vachoyma. So there are two Kal Vachoymas going in opposite directions. If I have to make a bracha over Torah, Lefoneho, surely over Mozoin, Lefoneho. If I have to make a bracha over Mozoin, LeAchareho, then surely after Torah, LeAchareho. Now the Gemara explains what exactly that Kal Vachoyma would be. Birkas HaTorah LeAchareho, we can surely suggest that you have to make a bracha on learning Torah post-learning. Min Birkas HaMozoin Mikal Vachoyme. And what would be the Kal Vachoyme? Uma Mozoin. If food She'ein Ta'un Lefonov. We do not find anywhere that you are obligated to make a bracha, at least min haTorah, prior to eating. Even though you mentioned before, Nachum, that you have to make a bracha because otherwise it's tantamount to stealing, but that is only midrabbanan. So min haTorah, we have not found that you have to make a bracha lefoneho on food. And yet nonetheless, ta'un la'acharov, yet food does require a bracha afterwards. But if that's the case, Torah shatuna lefoneho. So if Torah does require a bracha prior, einoi din, is it not logic? Here the word din means logic. Is it not logical to assume shatuna lachareho? Question mark. We see in the case of food that there is more of an obligation to make a bracha post than prior, because food is not mechayev a bracha prior to eating, and it is mechayev a bracha post eating. So I see that it's more of an obligation to make a bracha after the event than prior. So if Torah requires prior, kal vachoyma, it should require a bracha post learning. So we should at this stage, we'll see what the Gemara says at the end, but we should therefore at this stage emerge with a conclusion that in fact you mechuyev, as it were, to bench after Torah. Just like we bench after food, surely we should have to bench post learning Torah. Let's see Rashi. She'enoi ta'un lefono, food does not require a first bracha kloima, Shaloi motzimulai mikro, mufurish. we have not found any specific clear pasuk levarich lefonov, and yet ta'un la'acharov. It still requires a bracha afterwards, as we've just said, k'deksiv ochalto v'savato v'irachto. So therefore, Torah she'ta'una lefoneho, Torah that does require a bracha prior, k'da'omron, as we said, from the pasuk Yishem Hashem Ekra, surely, based on this kal v'chaymer, surely one should have to make a post-bracha on Torah. That's a kal v'chaymer in one direction. Now let's make a kal v'chaymer in a different direction. Ubirkas hamozoin lefoneho. Let's indeed try and prove that one should have to make a birkas hamozoin. One should make a first bracha, even min ha-Torah. Min birkas ha-Torah. Mikal v'choyma, once again. Uma toira she'eino tu'una la'achareho. Tu'una la'foneho. Toira, at least what is specific, what is explicit in the psukim. It does not require an after brocha, but it does, however, require a first brocha. So mozoin shehu to'un la'achareho. So food that definitely does require an after brocha. Is it not logical to suggest that she had ta'un lefanov? So the Gemara is trying to suggest a two-directional kal v'chomer such that our box would be complete. Mozoin would indeed obligate us to make a bracha not only afterwards but also prior to the eating. And Torah would require a bracha not only prior, but also post. We have to remember, there are indeed two kal v'chomers. So we have two chiyuvim which are written clearly in the Torah. That's birkas hamozoin afterwards and birkas ha-Torah prior. And all the remaining gaps we would learn based on a kal v'chomer. So there would, according to this Gemara, be therefore four brachas min ha-Torah. That's what we're trying to get to. There would altogether be four brachas min ha-Torah. Both food and Torah would require a bracha both prior and also post. That is what we're trying to prove based on the kal v'chomer. However, the Gemara disproves the kal v'chomer now, both of them. Says the Gemara, Ika lemifrach. One could ask a pircha. What's the pircha? Pircha means the breaking of a kal v'chomer. Ma lemozoin shekein nene. Food perhaps is different. Maybe you cannot extrapolate anything from food. The reason why you bench after food is because shekeinene, you have had physical body benefit. So you have no precedent, therefore, to obligate a bracha on limud Torah, where as enjoyable as an experience that is, but it's not a physical bodily benefit. So if ever you're going to prove from A to B, based on the logic of a kal v'chomer, it's got to be a sound logic. It's got to be absolutely a fair comparison. So what are you trying to say? That if you have to bench after eating, you should have to bench after Torah. Who says? Maybe the Torah only requires a bracha after the event where you had physical benefit. Torah is spiritual benefit. You might say it's more, it might be less, but it's different. We do not have a precedent for that. Says the Gemara, furthermore, Uma l'toira shekein chaye oilom. So too, if you're trying to prove, you have to make a first bracha on Torah, so you should have to make a first bracha on food, who says? Maybe the reason why you make a first bracha on Torah is because it is chaye oilom. It is what sustains you spiritually forever, whereas food only sustains you physically short term. So you're not comparing like with like. Yes, you have to make a first bracha on Torah, maybe because that's going to be your ticket to Olam Haba. But a first bracha on food, food is not your ticket to Olam Haba. So you cannot prove Birkas HaMozoin from Birkas HaTorah, neither can you prove Birkas HaTorah from Birkas HaMozoin. Says the Gemara, there's one more pircha. Void, and this was our Mishnah, and that's why this sugya is mentioned over here. Void, and furthermore, we have learned in a Mishnah, Al HaMozoin Mevorech L'Acharov. Remember we learned, in the case of the Baal Keri, that he does make a bracha afterward, but ve'enoi mevorech lefonov. He does not make a bracha prior to eating. And how did the Gemara make a differentiation at the end? Remember, we saw this yesterday. Because one is da'iraisa, and one is da'rabonam. So I'm very sorry to tell you, don't tell me that you have a kal v'chomer, which would prove that you have to make a first bracha on food min ha'Torah, because we have a clear Mishnah that seems to imply that the first bracha is not min ha'Torah. Were it to be min ha'Torah, then the Baal Keri would have to make a first bracha just like he makes an after bracha, and yet he doesn't. So why does the Mishnah make that distinction in the case of Baal Keri between first bracha and after bracha? It must be one is derabbanan, one is da'iraisa, and that proves, therefore, that the kal v'chomer is non-existent.
Rav, can I ask you a question about b'savata? If one eats a kazayas of bread, but in truth, he's satisfied, not because of the bread, but because of the chicken soup and the chicken and the potatoes.
Yeah, that's a very big discussion.
Is he benching d'oraisa or d'rabbanan?
Yes, that is a whole big discussion. That is a whole big discussion. And the same would be even with the Rabbonon. If you had half a kazayas of bread and half a kazayas of apples, would you make a brocha and which brocha? You have eaten a kazayas of food, but not a kazayas of bread. That's a parallel question to your question. If I'm satisfied, but not from the bread only, but rather because of all the food that I had together with the bread. That is a whole discussion.
Okay.
Let's see Rashi. Ikar lemifrach betarvayhu. As Rashi points out, this is what we saw in the Gemara, there's a pircha in both kal v'chomers. Kishatobo lilmoid Torah min amozim. If you want to learn Torah from food, what was the kal v'chomer? If you have to bench on food, you have to bench on Torah. Then I'm sorry to tell you, ikar lemifrach, one can make a pircha malamozin shekein nehene, you have had physical benefit. Or kashataba lilmoid, when you wanted to learn in the other direction, mozin min ha'Torah, if you have to make a first bracha on Torah, so to a first bracha on food, and once again, ikela mifrach, another pircha, mala Torah shekein chaye ha'olam haba. Torah is what provides you with olam haba. Food doesn't. So for each one has factors in it that would disprove the kal v'chomer. Now let's just pause for a moment and remind ourselves of the basic principles of kal v'chomer. If I see a perfectly healthy, fit, strong adult, and I wonder to myself, does he have the strength to lift up this table? And I say to you, well, listen, I just saw a seven-year-old boy lift up that table. So clearly the table is not very heavy. So then I would be able to make a kal v'chomer. What can I say? If a seven-year-old boy can lift up the table, certainly a 35-year-old, fully fit, healthy adult can definitely lift up the table. That is a sound kal v'chomer. Why? Because there are no factors that apply to the cotton that don't apply to the gadol. The gadol is, as it were, a super cotton. He is everything that the cotton has plus more. So that's a sound kal v'chomer. If the cotton can lift the table, certainly the adult can lift the table. But what happens if I would say to you, one second, there's a pircha. I happen to know that the adult at the moment is extremely ill. So then there's a pircha. Why is there a pircha? Yes, he is essentially stronger than the cotton, but the cotton is not ill. So he has something going for him that the adult does not. And therefore, it may well be that your ability to lift up this table is all dependent, not so much on your physical strength, but whether you're ill or not. I don't know. So you cannot prove the point. But that's exactly what's going on over here as well. If you want to prove from Torah to Mazon or Mazon to Torah, then each one has to be incorporated in the other, but it isn't. Because Mazon has a unique factor in that you have physical benefit. Torah has a unique factor, that's what brings you to Olam Haba. And each one of the others does not have the factor that the second one has. So it's not inclusive. And if it's not inclusive, the Mele is not a Kal Vachomer. Right, I'll just give you, it sounds like a silly example, but I remember this is the example that my father once gave me. Imagine you've got a screwdriver that helps you drill a nail into a hole. Screws it in. You've also got a hammer. So I say to myself, one second. Can I use a hammer to screw a nail into a small hole? Can I use a hammer to screw a nail? So I'll tell you what, I've got a Kal Vachomer. A screwdriver can screw a screw into a hole, but cannot knock a brick into place. So a hammer that can knock a brick into place, Kal Vachomer, he can screw a hole into a hole. And we all understand that Kal Vachomer is fundamentally flawed. Because which one is stronger, the hammer or the screwdriver? They're both strong. Each one has a factor that the other one doesn't. A hammer has a solid block at the end, so it's good for breaking bricks. And a screwdriver is a small Phillips head that helps you screw in a screw. So you cannot say that one is stronger than the other. One does not incorporate the other. But if I've got two hammers, a small hammer and a large hammer, and I say, can the large hammer knock this pin into the wall, and I say, well, the small one can do it. So then, yes, Kal Vachomer, the strong one can. Because the larger hammer is the smaller hammer plus. It just incorporates it. So therefore, the Gemara finishes off with one word, Tiyufta, indeed, that is a pircha. And therefore, in the final analysis, we are left with, therefore, a failed attempt to prove that there is a bracha on Torah afterwards and a bracha on food prior, min ha-Torah, those brachas do not exist. And therefore, in the final analysis, how many brachas are we left with min ha-Torah? One in each case. Birkas ha-Mozein after the food, Birkas ha-Torah prior to learning. By the way, this has very large halachic connotation. The Mishnah Berurah paskens, as you would expect, both in the halachas of Birkas HaMozein and also the halachas of Birkas HaTorah. What happens if you had a bread-based meal and you were fully satiated and you're chayav to bench? And you cannot remember, did I or didn't I bench? I can't remember. I cannot remember. What will be the halacha? Because we pasken that benching is min ha-Torah, you would have to bench again. Sofik da'iraisa l'chumra. So too, if I would like to learn Torah, but I can't remember if I've said Birkas ha-Torah, it's a sofik, because Birkas ha-Torah is a da'iraisa, sofik da'iraisa l'chumra. Whereas, if you cannot remember whether you've made other brachas, what happens if you have a cup of water in front of you? And you'd like to drink it, and I cannot remember whether I've made a bracha or not. I can't remember. Because the bracha of Shahakol Nia Bidvore is only midrabbonon, sofik derabbonon lekula. And we will be lenient, and you'll not therefore be required to bench. The Heilige Chasam Sofer used to have a bocher who was in charge of bringing him food to his house. And on one occasion, the food was not brought. And when the bocher happened to be visiting the Chasam Sofer, he politely asked him and said, "You haven't brought me my food today." And the bocher said, "I did." And the Chasam Sofer said, "You didn't." And there ensued a debate. Did he or didn't he bring the food? Until his bocher suggested to the Chasam Sofer, "Well, maybe you were so engrossed in your learning that you didn't actually remember eating the food. But I assure you, I brought it. Maybe you didn't remember eating." So the Chasam Sofer answered him and he said, "My dear Talmud, you're quite right. I may well forget whether I eat or not, but I definitely would not forget making a bracha. And if you would have brought me the food and I would have made a bracha, when I make a bracha to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that's something that I don't forget. So you can be rest assured that you did not bring me the food. I may well have forgotten whether I ate or not, but I don't forget making brachas." Okay, we just have a minute or so left. Let's just make a brief start to the next Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda. If you look, there's a star at the side. Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. The Gemara says, Sofek Kora Kriya Shema, Sofek Loi Kora. So exactly what we were just talking about a moment ago. You're not sure if you benched. You're not sure if you said Berkas HaTorah, Sofek Deraisa L'Chumra. And here the Gemara is saying, what would be if you're not sure if you said Kriya Shema? And what does the Gemara say? Einai chayzer v'koyre. You would not go and repeat Kriya Shema. So what would that seem to suggest? It would seem to suggest that the mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema is not min ha-Torah. Were it to be min ha-Torah, then surely we should once again evoke the rule, Safik d'oraisa l'chumra. You'll remember at an earlier stage, we discussed this in a Tosfos, whether Kriya Shema is or isn't Drabbanon. And we said, essentially, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is definitely Deiraisa, but that can be fulfilled in the bracha afterwards of Emes V'Yatziv. So this will, Be'ezus Hashem, be our discussion as we continue this Mitz Hashem tomorrow morning, all being well.
Unfortunately, I will miss tomorrow morning. I have a medical appointment in Yerushalayim.
Okay, so, you should be well. B'siyata
d'shmaya. It's okay. Shkoach, kaltu.